Hello, everyone. I'm Darian Gold, and welcome to All Things Pilates Season 5. There is a collective fascination with Joe Pilates, his method, and inventions. The exercise paradigm continues to evolve, as does our understanding of Joe's genius. So join us, because we know there is always more to explore. Teachers, have you ever had a disruptive student? If so, how did you handle this situation? And if you're a student, have you ever had a teacher you wanted to divorce? When I had my studio in Hollywood, I had a client who was a busy and distracted business owner. She joined my group classes whenever she could, though I was never sure why she'd be interested in Pilates, because she lacked any kind of self-awareness for herself or others. For example, it wasn't uncommon for her to be on her phone, immersed in a conversation, and walk into my studio during a class I was teaching. Many times I'd have to ask her to take her loud phone chat outside, only for her to return and undress, dropping pieces of clothing as she continued her quieter phone call. Eventually, her behavior was too disruptive, and I sent an email asking her to find another studio. But had I known about the book Having Hard Conversations by Jennifer Abrams, our guest today, perhaps there would have been a kinder and more enlightened resolution. Jennifer is a communications expert, a keynote speaker, facilitator, and author, and I've asked her to help us understand how to navigate these uncomfortable conversations in our studios. Hello, Jennifer. Welcome to All Things Pilates.
Hello. Nice to be here. Totally excited. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Jennifer, in an introduction, I shared the story about a client and how I made the decision to ask her to find another studio. Was there anything that I could have done to help her change her behavior?
I think the first piece is not to have hard conversations as much and to do this instead. And this might have helped you in that situation and in any situation. I think we need to get clearer about having clarifying conversations. So what I mean by that is, are we sure, now that we've been through a number of things that we're kind of frustrated about, that we want to make each challenging thing that's emotionally difficult be a learning opportunity? And that might mean that we need to set ourselves up for now being clear when a new client comes into the studio, when we are starting the new year off, when we are working with a new group in a cohort, to just have a what I call 2 feet in the present conversation. This is how we hope we can be with each other. This is what we expect. This is what we would like not to see. And then if you ultimately, fair enough, have to have hard conversations as you would with this particular person who was being quite unconscious, possibly entitled, sort of unaware of her effect on others, you could say, as we agreed here at the studio, please don't do these things, you know? And so it's not coming from out of thin air and you feel like you're on solider ground, but you got to actually start not to be mean, but to just be clear with what do we want here? And that's what I think people need to be aware of, because you're creating an environment. And what kind of environment do you want to be in your studio so that all are safe and welcome and able to participate in ways that really contribute to their physical health and their emotional health? And that means that lots of things need to be stated and there's purpose.
In print?
I would put it in print. I would have people read it. I would have people maybe sign when they start joining with the studio, just like we do in classes, you know, about rules that we have. There are norms that we put up for teachers. I work a lot in education on in print at the beginning of a workshop. Sometimes they're on the wall. I went to my workout place today. Shout out to Equinox here in Palo Alto, California. And they're very clear on the walls. Take the feeling chatty, take it outside. And sometimes it's a little fun the way they say it, but you could then point to things that are actually in print and speak to this is the environment that we are asking people to be respectful of. It's not personal.
Exactly. It's not personal.
No.
Okay. So with this particular client, since she had already been coming for a while, I never had that kind of conversation with anybody. It never even dawned on me.
Yeah.
Was she sort of a lost cause because maybe I didn't really have the skills to help change her behavior?
I think it isn't. To me, it's not about changing somebody's behavior. I think it's about finding your voice and saying, this behavior is impacting the group in this way. Could you substitute this for another behavior that would be better for the whole group? So when you come in on the phone, it's distracting to all of us who are participating. Basically, make a different choice, but please take your conversations outside. Happy to have you come in after it's done. And when people come in, please be aware of coming in as quietly as you possibly can, as not to distract from the flow. That might mean arriving and leaving your shoes outside, putting things in cubbies or whatever, as we have out there. There's an intent and a reason for this. Without being angry, I think you could just say, it just makes it easier for all of us, if that's possible. If it isn't, we need to talk about having a different conversation, or please find another place that would be more accommodating to what is needed on your end. And so you could ask. It's about a request and then ultimately maybe an expectation. So you're moving from, you're not suggesting, okay? Suggesting is they could take it, they could leave it. This is a recommendation, which is a generous way with a client to say something, but then increasing the intensity to this is the expectation.
And one thing that caught my attention with what you were just saying is the teacher having to have their voice, his or her voice.
Yes.
And sometimes we might not have our voice or feel entitled to have our voice because these are our clients.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate that power dynamic. You're concerned about the financials. You're concerned about the social perception that you're a difficult teacher. You're concerned. There's a lot of hesitations that we all have, regardless of field, regardless of whether you own something, you're not. And those are really common. I want you to consider them, though, as competing commitments. You want the place to be supportive for all, to be a place that is conducive to an entire group doing their mat work. You want all of that, but you're worried about not being liked. You want to make sure that everybody is getting a very positive physical and emotional experience so that they feel healthier, but you're worried that this person will leave, you know? So you're always in, you're committed to not doing any of that negative stuff. You're committed to what you're doing. Recognize it as a competing commitment and say there are skills that you can get over all that. This is not like, oh, I've never been one. I'm sure I couldn't possibly do that. There are many. So I want you to think about United Airlines. I'm just thinking about the people I fly with. United Airlines sometimes has to have a hard conversation. And sometimes people aren't happy, but they're doing it for the comfort and safety of all people on the plane. right? You know, and so they have a higher purpose. And I think that that's what you as a studio owner or as a teacher need to realize is you're not there to just be accommodating to this one person. You're there for a bigger picture, which is the comfort and safety and health of everybody. And so when you stand up for something positive, you can say something that might feel negative to you. But frankly, it is for the betterment of the whole.
Yes. Yes. And perhaps this discussion needs to be included in teacher training because we never got this.
Of course. And that happens everywhere. Nobody, we have credentials or expertise or qualifications in our subject or in our field. And what I'm always saying to people is we don't have credentials on how to talk effectively to adults. And yet that's who we work with. So there's this whole other side. So that might need to be within anybody in your field's kind of training as they become a teacher. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, as a student, those who are listening who are Pilates students.
Yeah, please.
Here's an example, though, that they're in a busy studio and taking a mat class. Mm-hmm. And let's say they are next to a student who's just always in their own world and very inconsiderate.
Yeah.
In terms of having the student's voice, what would you recommend? Because this student doesn't want to be shunned.
Of course.
But this person training next to him or her is annoying and selfish. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that?
I think that we teach students in education, probably starting in maybe kindergarten, first or second grade, the I statements. When you, I feel, could you, might you, right? So when you put your mat so close to mine, I feel like I can't do the exercise as required. Do you mind moving over? They might be so unconscious they didn't even know. They don't know that they're backing up against your mat because they're facing you. They came in and they were unaware that, you know, and they moved too close or they're talking to the person next to them, doing sidebar, kind of whispering or something. You know, I can't hear when that happens. Do you mind not doing that? Would that be all right? Thank you. Just a quick little when you, you know, could you, you know, I feel. It's stuff that we teach eight-year-olds. And what I laugh about is that we teach eight-year-olds to do that in the playground. And there are books called Talk It Out. And then I teach the teachers that, and they go, oh, I'm 28 or 38 or 48 or 58. And these eight-year-olds can do it, but I have a hard time. And I go, I know, but it's okay. It's okay.
Is that because we didn't really learn it when we were eight?
I think we didn't learn it. And we weren't in a culture or a classroom climate, a studio climate where that is the way we talk to each other. We try not to gossip about it. We try not to go out into the parking lot and be upset after the class. We try not to have to go to the teacher and have them sort of be that person to be the quote punitive one, quote reprimanding. We just didn't know how to do this. That to me is why I think starting with the clarifying conversations, starting with a norm or a reminder to, you know, be thoughtful about self and other in the session, be aware of your surroundings, just to kind of remember that or maybe even state it, allows people to be a little bit more on point. Like, oh yeah, I was just here early and I wanted to put myself in the front and now seven people can't see. And boy, that was all about me. And you know, everybody else is like, she's always here early. And she always, we've got to be able to speak up in ways that I always say are humane and growth producing. Do you mind? Might this be possible? I can't hear. I'm unable to. When this happens, it gets in the way of me doing. Could you? You know what I mean? And then if they go no, and they're really obnoxious about it, maybe make a choice to stand in another section next time. But if it really becomes, emotionally damaging, then somebody at the studio needs to be aware of that, because it's probably something they need to be in the loop on. If people are racist or sexist or homophobic or Islamophobic or, you know, shaming in any way, that's not acceptable. And that might then need to be a clarifying conversation again, right? So.
And speaking of body shaming, there is an element of body shaming in the Pilates world, sadly.
Yeah.
How can a teacher encourage a supportive studio environment when teachers or where students won't feel self-conscious about their bodies or even their abilities? Especially, I've had this experience many times, and I've been teaching since I was 14. So that's a long time. But in terms of, that's a really long time. But in terms of Pilates, I've been teaching since 94, I believe. And yes, it's true, I make the work look good because that's my training. But a student will come in, and if they don't have a good sense of themselves, they will say, they'll already criticize themselves walking in. Like, I could never do that. Or if they see a video of me practicing the work, it sort of repels them, as if they'll never be at that level. So they don't even want to try. So how do you create this environment where it doesn't really matter if you can touch your toes or you can't flex your hips? How do you create a safe space where people don't have to feel weird about their body shape or what they can do with their body?
I think, again, and I know I'm going back to this word clarifying, I think some mantra, some fun way of saying, you know, we love you, we love you, we love all shapes, you can't do a darn thing about it, we're going to love you, we want people to develop, if you couldn't, you know, get to your knees, you can't touch your toes, doesn't matter to us. It's about us growing. It's about us being healthy together. And so that's what we value. And something about the ultimate goal of good health, of taking care of ourselves, that we welcome everyone. We welcome any body shape, any ability, and in fact, we celebrate you no matter where you are. We want you to come and be healthy. That kind of overtness and stating that aloud on your website, in your classes, welcoming people. I can see that we've got new people here, as we all say, and then maybe you have some sort of thing like, all good, try your best, or whatever, you know, something silly that everybody, you know, whatever it is that people.
What do they have at Equinox?
I work with a trainer. I don't take classes. So I'm unsure. Classes. Now, that doesn't mean the classes aren't great. Okay. Why I choose not to take classes is because my day-to-day work is teaching classes. So that is my thing. And so for me to be in a class, I just don't do that. I have a trainer. That trainer has been trained so well to work with me and never judge if I need a day that's a light day, that everything is, we're moving, we're getting healthy, compliments, keeping me on track. That's their job. And they work with people who are dealing with so many different things, coming back from chemo, working because they had a back surgery. So they're used to being compassionate with us because that's their training. And I think the overtness of in a Pilates studio naming that you might be in a place that you need to take care of yourself, just move. And we love it. You can't be wrong in continuing to stretch. We think that's great. I don't care if you're a size zero or a size 14. No, and we will create a safe space. Ladies, gentlemen, will we not? Where there will be no judgment of ourselves or judgment of other people. Isn't that a great environment to grow in? You know what I mean? So you got to be able to say it though, and you got to name it on your website, and you got to put it up on the wall.
And perhaps the idea of compassion and having compassion for whoever steps into your studio, that Absolutely. Needs to be part of the teacher training.
That's right too. Absolutely. And to know when people come in, and this is Claude Steele and Josh Aronson's work from Stanford at the time and then Columbia around stereotype threat. So they were social psychologists. When people walk into situations, they have this perception. Right. Oh my gosh, I don't fit the norm. They're judging me. That could be, I interpret that I am too big to do Pilates. I already feel worse. Right. Or I am an older person taking a memory test. I already am going to fail. They're going to judge me. I am a girl in a math class. Oh, they're already going to judge me. I don't know how to do math. So you already come in to anticipate that as a teacher, to know that that is what's going on in the minds of some of your students means that you have to accommodate to that. And I would suggest that you overtly create, identity safety in so many ways as people are coming in. You might not have had any of those experiences. You might be a size 2. You might be incredibly flexible. This has been your being. And are you trying to support the health and the growth or whatever it is of any student who comes in? Then you need to modify and be overt about your support in that way.
Where does the concept of having to be perfect play into this?
Perfectionism
doesn't exist.
No, perfectionism doesn't exist, but it is very much within, I think, in the individualistic USA culture of be better, do better, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can be anything. And so everybody strives to put themselves out on Instagram as they're having the best life. And so you're living within. We're living within a system that sort of applauds that that's the case. And that's why there's such work out there to say, nobody's perfect. And just to be self-compassionate. It is tricky though. And I can imagine in Pilates that I've taken Pilates and I've taken Mat and I've taken Reformer and how can I just be better? I always say I work out today so I can work out again tomorrow.
Yes.
That's it. I want to continue to stay healthy. That's my goal. So to me, it's not about perfect. It's about progress. It's about movement. It's about staying healthy. So I think I have a different take. I'm less on the perfectionistic side, but to understand, and I did with my students, I've got to get an A. I've got to get an A. My parents aren't going to love me if I don't have an A. There is that piece. And so to just, again, know that that might be going on in the minds of your students and to say something about that. It's not about being perfect. It's about progress. Are you stretching yourself? That's it. So I think it's about overt naming of all this stuff so that they see that you see their insides and you're going to love them. No matter what, that's the thing. You're glad they're there.
And just like you said, to be able to wake up and work out again.
And because, we never know, right? So that's the goal. The goal is we work out today so we can work out tomorrow. And everybody's, I'm so worried. I'm not perfect anymore. I'm so worried that I'm getting wrinkles. And I said, there are so many people that didn't have the fortunate opportunity to actually grow old enough to get wrinkles. I'm thrilled if I get to that age and I have wrinkles. I should be thrilled with that. Life is too short to be worried about that. And that's Annie Lamott, who's Anne Lamott is an amazing writer. And Anne was in front of somebody, a friend of hers who was going through chemo. And she went with her to look at trying on some clothes. And she said to her friend, Pam, do I look fat in this? And Pam looked at her and said, Annie, you ain't got that kind of time. And that's what we just enough already with perfectionism. Let's just be better than we were yesterday. Let's strive. Let's just try.
That needs to be on a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. You ain't got that kind of time. I don't get it. And should you still go to Pilates? Absolutely.
Yeah. Hear that, everybody. Well, just like Anne said about life is too short, You said in the pre-interview that life is too short to not stand up for what's right.
I'm getting more courageous with that. Yeah, I think as there's so much mental health, the challenges, the polarization in our country, the worries that we all have. Who are we? What do we stand for? And are we going to, on our deathbed, may I just say, sort of say, you know what? I spoke up. I didn't slack. I didn't cower. And in ways that you have to be safe for you. I'm not so sure that everybody can do that in every situation. I'm not encouraging people to go, you know, and do things that are deeply uncomfortable. But I think if you believe in something, I think we need to shape the environments around us and say, this is how we're all going to play. And I would encourage all owners of Pilates studios to say, I'm creating environments here where people can feel safe, and I will speak up if I see things that are physically unsafe or emotionally damaging. Of course, you're going to do that if you're physically unsafe. You don't want anybody to hurt themselves. That's an immediate, but it's that emotional stuff that you might want to have to speak up and say, it's not okay to do that. It's not, we're trying to create an environment here of safety for everybody and welcoming everybody. And please don't do that again.
Yes, because ultimately it's for the greater good.
Mm-hmm. You're there, just like they say, for the comfort and safety of others. We're going to...
United Airlines, right back at it.
And Southwest and any other place. But they're always there. They said, this is what we're here for. And so what are you here for? And do you have to create that? And might that need to be part of your training? Because you're not just doing the physical work. You're actually helping people emotionally and psychologically and spiritually, actually.
Yes, I love that. Jennifer, are you working on a new book or a new project?
The last thing I'm continuing to do, so I've written 5 books. The book I just wrote a couple years ago that I'm really deep diving in with a number of people around is called Stretching Your Learning Edges, Growing Up at Work. And my intent in that book is to ask every adult in any organization, any team, to really take a look at how they are growing in order to be an even better value add. And that really is an inside job. There's a lot of self-awareness, self-management, social intelligence that I am encouraging people to consider, because I think it would add so much to the ability of everybody in that team to show up with each other and then get the work done, because the interpersonal dramas be fewer if we were more mindful, I think. And so in order to get to the work, might we be more thoughtful about who we are and how we're developing? So that's what I've been working on. And it's all over the world. It's really super fun to see how it's...
So you wrote the book 2 years ago.
Yes.
And is this the next edition?
During COVID.
Oh.
No, this is just me still working on it. So it's now coming out. And I'm doing it as a book study with teams. I'm doing it. And so we're almost at, somebody has done the book study once, and now how do we deepen it? So I'm sort of spiraling with it, in the sense of, now where do we take it? I think there will ultimately be either a second edition, or there are 5 facets. And so just check it out. Look at my website, jenniferabrams.com, to find out what those facets are. But let's say we pick one of those facets and then we write a little separate book that's a little an extension of that. That might be where I go with different ones. So we'll see.
This is the most exciting of all your books, because it's sprouting into some other areas.
I think so. I think it's the most encompassing of all people within the field I started in, which is education. Doesn't have to be just the teachers, could be the people that are, you make sure that the transportation happens, it still applies to you. You're making sure that the food services is okay, it applies to you. So it's more encompassing of anybody in the field, but it can extend beyond that field. And that's what makes it super interesting. But so can hard conversations. I was having that dialogue with my trainer today. He goes, maybe you should come to Equinox and do
it. Yes.
I said, yes,
absolutely.
Happy to do that. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think we're a bit immature as a whole in terms of teaching our work because the focus is so much on the work because there's so much of it.
And the expertise and the development in your field, in the work that you do, has to be the focus for, it has to be the focus, right? Just like in other fields. Like I want my doctor to know medicine. And then you go, oh yeah, but what about bedside manner, right? And so it isn't either or, it's both and. And the question is, when can we put that in? And we're too busy. You're too busy not to actually do this. So it's not just like, oh, when can we find the time? It's, we need to place it on the front burner and say, this is super important too.
Yes. So thank you. So tell us your website again, if that's the best way to reach out to you.
Yeah, it's either just jenniferabrams.com and Jennifer, two N's and then ABRAMS.com, or just my email, jennifer@jenniferabrams.com. And you'll find me. And I'll tell you, this is funny. This is funny for your podcast. If you go and you look up Jennifer Abrams, you will also find a bodybuilder. And so she has jenniferabrams.net. And you will see a woman in a bikini who's
chiseled.
Somebody goes, is that you? And I go, no, that's not me. She has wanted my website for years. But I am a communications and educational consultant. And so I am not the bodybuilder.
Okay.
Just to let you know.
Good to know. Not yet, Jennifer. Not yet.
Not yet. But I'm trying, working on my body. But no, I'm not the one in the bikini who's chiseled. That's not me.
Okay. Well, thank you for setting us all straight. And thank you so much for your time today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
All Things Pilates is produced, written, edited, and hosted by me, Darian Gold. Mastered audio mix by Fabian Romero. This season, we have all original music by AKA Johnny. Also, if you're enjoying this podcast, you have the opportunity to support it for as little as $3 a month. You'll see the link in the show notes, and just know that every dollar helps me continue to bring you the most interesting guests in the Pilates community. This interview got me thinking. Sometimes it's difficult, or at least uncomfortable, to be real to ourselves and to others. Many times we give more credit to those around us and value their opinions more than our own. In fact, if we aren't careful, we might unknowingly let others define who we are. So, if we focus on what we actually feel, even if this means we're alone in our opinions, just believing in ourselves will empower us. Even if we do feel unheard, isn't it our own voice that truly matters? Our own voice and our own heart? The very place where our truth resides. Thanks so much for tuning in, and meet you here in a couple of weeks for another episode of All Things Pilates.